And sometimes you find yourself in situations that don't make any sense. And he's trying to get them there, and they get on one boat and they go as far as they can on one boat, and then they have to hop on another boat, and now they're on a cargo ship with all kinds of seed and meal and wheat and 276 people trying to make it to the other side. And I thought maybe it would be appropriate that we ought to use Julius to tell the story, since he is a Roman aristocrat, a centurion of the highest order. Maybe protocol should necessitate that we use him to tell the story. Bear with me just a moment, if you will. Can I go a little bit further? And then I thought maybe we should not use Julius, and maybe we shouldn't use Luke. Maybe we should use Paul, because Paul has already been through hell and high water. And when I thought about Paul, I thought about Bishop Ellis, who has lived a life that has not always been easy. It has not always been grandiose. It has not always been special. You saw the robes and the finery and the charisma and the articulation, but you didn't see the suffering that he went through from his youth forward that produced the kind of anointing that caused him to be who he was. People always want your anointing, but they don't want your story. They want the finished product. They want to pick and choose what part of your life they take. But through many dangers, calls, and snares, you don't get to be a J. Delano Ellis because you carried his briefcase. You don't get to be Bishop Ellis because you can wear his shoes. You don't get to be Bishop Ellis because you can put on all the garb and go through all of the ceremony and be in full choir. Not until you've been in full tears. Not until you've been battered and forsaken. Paul went through hell and high water. He was called on the road to Damascus. I got preachers. I don't have to tell the whole story. He comes on the road to Damascus, sighted. And he leaves blind. He loses his eyesight that he might gain his insight. Helen Keller said, there are worse things than being blind. She said, I'd rather be blind than have eyes and have no vision. Paul gave up his eyesight, but he gained his insight. And God began to use him in a spectacular way. He preached with such power and such clarity that the anointing was so strong on him that one time he preached and a man fell out the window and fell dead, and Paul went down and raised him from the dead and kept on preaching. Yes, sir. He was powerful. He was articulate. He was intelligent. He was multilingual. He was flexible enough. Like Bishop, he could be used in different settings and different areas, because the broader you are in your mindset, the more adaptable you are in God's service. Thank you for your adaptability, sir. Thank you for being able to ascend and descend. Thank you for your ability to go in and out from this place to that place and hold your head up with integrity. Not everybody who's got on a collar can walk from a Jewish synagogue to a Catholic cathedral and still be accepted in all places. Paul was that kind of man. He was an Ellis kind of man. He was gifted and profound. And you would think that if you were that valuable to God, that you would not have to go through storms. But Paul had been beaten. He had been stoned at Lystra. He had been left for dead outside the city. He had been laughed at by his peers and the scholars of his period. But nothing is like this moment, because now the great apostle is a prisoner. When I first heard a bishop's first bout with cancer, cancer is a prison. It's a shackle. It's not just a term. It's nausea and sickness and affliction and stuff that people don't see. They see you after you wash up and clean up and come out and you dance over top of it. But the people who live with you know how you suffer. You suffer your way to the stage. Suffer your way to a stage where people stayed home because they had a cold. I just want you to understand who we're talking about. The kind of toughness that he brings to the table means that you are who you are, chains or not. And as the story reads, I thought maybe we should let Paul tell the story, because even though he is a prisoner, the text does not read like a prisoner, because before the storm got through with them, the owner of the ship and the centurion were looking to Paul for answers, because he might have been in chains in his body, but he was free in his spirit. And he said, I heard from God. I heard from God. I heard from God. Every Sunday morning, the bishop stood in this pulpit. He stood because he had heard from God. That does not mean that he did not have chains around his ankles while he preached. That does not mean that he did not suffer in his body and in his heart and in his mind over and over again. And even though he came in the church dancing, that does not mean it didn't hurt. Because greatness makes its own pain. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Greatness makes its own pain. And even though there are some preachers trying to act like you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want to blow your cover, but it hurts to be you. You go through hell being you. You shout in church and cry all night because greatness produces its own pain. And I thought maybe Paul and earned the right to tell the story, that he becomes a perfect depiction of who Bishop J. Delano Ellis is, diverse in his ability to communicate with all types of people in all types of settings and situations, and yet true to who he is, able to be respected even when he is not in positions of power. He is still recognized for his influence with God and able to move crowds that had not been subservient to his ministry because of his integrity. That's who Bishop Ellis is. That's what put T.D. Jakes on a plane after not being on a plane since February, because I wanted to say my amen and salute this general with your amazing self and your ability to do incredible things and still know who you are. Most people, if they're adaptable, they're so impressionable that they lose sight of who they are. But Bishop could go in and out and not lose sight of who he was. And Paul knew that the chains did not define him, and the weather did not define him, and the storm did not define him. The glory defined him. The power of God defined him. The Spirit of the living God. In fact, what they call incarceration, Paul saw as transportation. Y'all miss that. What they called incarceration, Paul saw it as transportation, because he had to get to Rome. And he thought he might as well hop a ride. And the chains didn't bother him, because he was free in places that man could never tie you up. Are there any free people in the room? Is there anybody left in the church who has not succumbed to the shackles that men try to put on you, and you have made up in your mind, I'm going to be free come hell or high water, whether you like me or don't like me, whether I'm preaching in a crowd or preaching in a room by myself, whether I'm screaming online or I'm cut down to 10 folks, I am who I am. I can do what I can do. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, because I have not lost sight of myself. For these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal.